Today's Shir Masechta Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Mem Zayin. We will begin on Daf Kuf Mem Vav Mebeis at the Gemara right after the Mishnah. Our Mishnah we learned in the previous Shir taught us the basic halach of a Shchimera. We've learned so many times the Divrei Shchimera Kiksuvim Kimsurim Dami. And this is the Mishnah that taught us that halach. The Mishnah went on to teach us how do we know if a gift given by this individual who's a Shchimera was being given because he's a Shchimera, it's a regular gift. So the way Mishnah said we could determine that is that if he gave away everything he owns, that's an indication that it's a Matana Shchimera. But if he only gave away some of his assets, that would not be considered a Matana Shchimera. So in other words, what we're doing is we're making an assumption that it was when it was and when it wasn't a Matana Shchimera. Furthermore, as the Rishonim point out, there's another assumption that's made. That if indeed it is a Matana Shchimera, as we've learned earlier in our Masechta, a Matana Shchimera, the gift is only considered the recipient's as the after the Shchimera passes away. Because we assume that that was the Shchimera's intent, that it not be transferred to this recipient until he dies. So these are all assumptions. And ask the Gemara, Man Tana, who is the Tana that we find in Shas? Does Lina Basam, that we follow these assumptions? Before we go further, in fact, ask the Rishonim, we've learned so many times that Dvarim Shebelev, Enim Dvarim. Unless something is clearly articulated, just because we know that's what you were thinking, it doesn't have any halachic validity. So how, indeed, the Mishnah teaches us that we follow the assumption. The Gemara we're going to learn now brings rayas that that's correct. What about Dvarim Shebelev and Dvarim? So one tarus that the Rishonim suggest is that when something is muchach, when it's an umdin of the muchach, when it's patently obvious that that was his intent, it's not in the category of Dvarim Shebelev. Another pshat that I saw in the Rishonim, that is as follows. If I enter into business transaction with you and I sell something to you and you buy it, and then afterwards I say, well, I only meant to sell it under certain conditions. Dvarim Shebelev in advarim. And even though it's umdana, even though it's quite readily apparent that that was what I meant, the halacha will be that we don't dvarim shebelev in advarim. But that's by a mecher. That's when something being sold. So there's two parties. I'm selling to you. You entered into a transaction with me. And if I didn't stipulate something, I didn't stipulate it, even if I thought it. Here, however, we're referring to a matana. A matana, you're not doing anything. I'm just giving you something that belongs to me. By matana, the halacha will be that an umdana the muchach is considered umdana something to follow. However, as the Marik goes on to say, all an umdana could do is take a fact, as in our case, where a shchimera gave a matana, gave something away, and what the umdana could do is help define the terms of the gift. But an umdana cannot create a fact. And our Gemara is a situation where there is a matana, and now we're relying on an umdana, and the Gemara wants to know, mantana does lean about umdana. Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Shimon ben Asihi. It represents the opinion of Rav Shimon ben Asihi. The Tanya. It says in a Braisa, Harei Sha'alach b'noi l'medina sayom. Somebody's son went off to Medina sayam. V'shama shemes b'noi. And the father hears terrible news that his son passed away. V'kosov kol nechosov l'achar. So now that he has this information that his son tragically passed away, so he writes over all of his estate to someone else. And then Baruch Hashem, his son comes. So what he gave away was incorrect. Doesn't make a difference according to the Tanakhama. The Aloch is Matanosa Matana. Rav Shimon ben Asya, however, says, a Matanosa Matana. His gift is not considered a gift. Shemolei ha-yudei shebnoi kayim, because had he known that his son was alive, lo yakayis when he would have never written it away. Interesting, machlokes Rishonim. This opinion of Rav Shimon ben Asya, under what circumstances was it said? The Rimagash says it's only referring to the Shchimira. The Shchimira hears that his son died, that's when the halach will be that if we discovered that Baruch Shem's son was alive, his gift will be invalidated. Other Rishonim, the Yad Ramah, disagree. I say it makes no difference. A Shchimira or a Bari. Since we're invalidating the gift because of the assumption that it was only given because his son passed away, which Baruch Shem he didn't, the gift becomes null and void. The Ramban makes an interesting distinction. He says, if it's a situation where the person is going away, he's not dying, he's not a shchimera, but he's leaving, he's going, and that's why he makes this gift, and the gift is given under false information, he will be considered like a shchimera. Because a shchimera is leaving the world, and this person is leaving town. But if it's not being given under such circumstances, there the Ramban agrees with the Yad Ramah, that the halacha is that it's only, with the Rimigash, that it's only by Shchimira. Furthermore, the Paiskim point out that this din that Rav Shimon Menashe is saying, that if it turns out that he gave the gift under false pretenses, it becomes void, has number of conditions. Number one is V'omad. The Mar uses the word V'omad, that he rewrote, that he gave this new will immediately after he got this information, this misinformation. So then we could assume that he wrote this because he got the misinformation. But if he wrote this new will a while after, then we can't be so sure to make an assumption that he did it because of this misinformation. Furthermore, the Mefarshim suggests, it's only in a case, as the wording of the Brisa says, V'amad v'kosov n'chosov l'achar. He went and he wrote his estate over to somebody who's not a relative. So we say, why did he write his estate over to someone who's not his relative? Because he thought Nebuch, his son, died. But if let's say he were to write the estate over to someone who's his child, just not this child, because obviously he thinks this child is dead, the halacha would be that the gift, even according to Shimon Menashe, would be valid. The Shalos HaTshuvos Meram Lulblin, based on this Gemara, says a very interesting psak. He says that, let's say there was a person who never had children. Didn't have children. So he wrote a will on the basis that he doesn't have children, so he wrote a will to whoever. And then Baruch Hashem, he has a child. But before he could correct his will, Rahman Slani passed away. Says the Meram Lublin, based on this Gemara, that will be null and void. Because we assume that he only wrote that will because he thought he doesn't have children. Baruch Hashem, if he has children, certainly he would have wanted his child to be his Yerush. So Rav Nachman has identified that Rav Shem Menashe is the Tanavam Mishnah. Rav Sheshes Amar, however, holds Rav Shimon Shazurihi, that the Tanavam Mishnah is Rav Shimon Shazuri. The Tanya, we learned in a Braisa. If somebody was going to be hung, to be executed, and Rishonim point that it makes no difference if he was accused of a capital offense or a monetary offense. Vomer, kisva git lishti, and he says, why did he get from my wife? Because he doesn't want his wife to have to fall to Yibam. Even though he didn't give instruction that get should be delivered, the halacha is arel ele v'yichta v'yitna. We assume that he meant it, that it should be delivered. He just didn't finish giving his instructions. It's a tough time. He's going to be executed. Chazer loim. Then they went on to say, af hamafarish, somebody's traveling overseas, v'yotze b'shiyara. Again, if he gives instructions that a get be written, we assume that he wants the get to be delivered too, because he doesn't want his wife to have to fall to Yibam. Rav Shimon Shazuri loimer, af hamasukin. Even somebody who's very ill, again, we make the same assumption that he wanted the get to be written because he thought that, because he doesn't want his wife to fall to Yibam. So we see Rav Shimon Shazuri makes that assumption. And as the Rishonim point out, it's not only Rav Shimon Shazuri that holds that way. Even the Tanakhama is relying on assumptions. So some Rishonim in fact say that when Rav Sheish is identifying that we follow Umdana, being the opinion of Shimon Shizuri, it doesn't mean only Rav Shimon Shizuri. He also means the Tanakhama. Other Rishonim say that since the concept that we're following an Umdana is so much more obvious in the opinion of Rav Shimon Shizuri, it must be that's Rav Shimon Shizuri who we're following. So we have Machlokes, who is the Tan of Umdana? Rav Nachman is saying it's Rav Shimon ben Asya, and Rav Sheish is saying it's Rav Shimon Shizuri. Ask the Gemara, Rav Nachman my Tam la Mukalek Rav Shimon Shizuri. Why doesn't Rav Nachman identify that the Tan of our Mishnah is Rav Shimon Shizuri? Answer the Gemara, Shani Hasan Dama Kisru. Since he used such a strong word, he used the word Kisru, there Shimon Shizuri, that's why it's not just an Umdana. But in our Mishnah, where there isn't that special word being used, that we don't know that we would follow an Umdana. Ask the Gemara, Rav Sheshes, my Tam la Mukalek Rav Shimon Asya. Why doesn't he say that the Tan is Rav Shimon ben Asya? Answer the Gemara, Umdana Mukach Shani. He says that there is an Umdana Mukach, in the case where he was told his son died, our Mishnah is not as much as an Umdana the Muchach, and therefore a raya from Rav Shimon ben Asya's opinion cannot be brought to our Mishnah. Ask the Gemara, Man Tana Lahad Tana Rabbanan, who is the Tana of the following Braisa? Haresha Yechayla, if somebody was very ill, Umuta Mita, and he was laying in bed, Vamalai, and he was asked, Nechasech Lami, who should inherit your property from Lahem, and he responds, Doima Sheshli Ben. I always thought I had a son. Achshav Sheshli Ben. Not unfortunately, I have no son. Nechasei Leplaini. My property should be given to whichever specific individual. Or Haychal Mutlamita. Similar situation. He was very ill. Vamalai Nechasev Lami, and he was asked, who should inherit your property? Amalai, and he responds, Doima. Shishti Muberis, I always assumed that my wife was pregnant and she'll have a child who will be my Yairish. Achshav She'eni Shishti Muberis, now that my wife is no longer pregnant, she miscarried. Nechasei L'Ploini, so I want this individual to be my Yairish. And then, for neither he becomes aware, She'esh Le'ben, that he Baruch Hashem does have a son. Oisha Ishti Muberis, that his wife is still pregnant. Ematanasa Matana. His gift is not considered a gift, because we say it was given under false information. Says the Gemara, Lema, it seems, that this Braisa, Rav Shimon ben Asya, is following the opinion of Rav Shimon ben Asya, where Rav Shimon ben Asya says that if somebody gave a gift under false information, and then when he finds out the truth, it becomes null and void. V'loi Rabbanan. It won't follow the opinion of the Rabbanan, because we learned previously, the Rabbanan say that the gift remains batanasa matana, that the gift does remain a good gift. Answers the Gemara Filtem Rabbanan. We actually could say that this Bryce even follows the Rabbanan. Because in that Bryce that we began the shiur with today, he didn't use the words doima. He didn't sort of explicitly say that he's giving this gift because this is what he assumed is the situation. Here, however, where we use the word doima, Shani, even the Rabbanan would agree that the gift was given based on false information, and when the truth comes out, the gift becomes null and void. Ask the Gemara, or the Karla Mekarla. The answer that the Gemara just gave, differentiating between that case and this case where he used the words doima, are so obvious. What was the Gemara's havamina? Answers the Gemara, ma'atei mitzarehu dekamitka. Just using the word doima is not an indication that that's the reason why he's giving the gift, because of this misinformation. And therefore, perhaps the Rabbanan would hold that the Matana is a Matana, Kamash Malan, that it's obvious, even according to Rabbanan, it's not just an Umdana, that the reason he's giving the gift to this other individual is because of the misinformation that he has. And when he gets the correct information, the gift that he gave becomes null and void. And I saw the Taras Chaim explains the Gemara situation, the Gemara's Shak V'Tari very beautifully. The Taras Chaim explains that the Gemara means to say as follows. What happened here was, they came and told him terrible news. His son died. His wife miscarried. That was the first thing that happened. Then they asked him as a separate question, so now who do you want should inherit your property? Because he was a very sick individual. And he answers, whatever. So we would think that since this was said as two separate statements, there were two separate conversations. One was about the death or the miscarriage, and one was about who should be his Yairish. Even though they were said in one conversation, it should be considered like two separate statements. Kamashman, that even the Rabbanan will agree that since it was said in one conversation, it's considered connected, and it's obvious that it was said on the based on the misinformation, and therefore when the truth comes out, the gift is voided. Amar Abzeira, Amar Rav. Menayim Matana Shkimara Shimina Torah. How do we know that Matana Shkimara is valid Midaraisa? Machlokes Rishayim, how do we understand this line of the Gemara? Some Rishayim learned the Gemara Pasha Pshat, that the Gemara is trying to prove that Midaraisa, the halacha of Direi Shkimara K'ksuvim K'msurim Dami, is a din Midaraisa. Others say that the Gemara never assumed that Direi Shkimara K'ksuvim K'msurim Dami is affected Midaraisa. What the Gemara was looking for was an asmachta, some sort of proof that there's a in the Torah. And as the Mefarshim point out, we're going to have actually later in the Shir, where there's a mandam that clearly says that Dibre Shchimera is Midrabbanan. So according to the first pshat we just quoted, it's very understandable. This approach of the Gemara assumes that this din of Shchimera is Daraisa. Later we'll learn it's only Midrabbanan. However, others explain that there's no machlokes. The second pshat's going to hold that nobody has ever assumed that it was more than a Midrabbanan. Just this Gemara is looking for a makar, a source in the Torah, to back up this halacha. What pshat that it's looking for a source in the Torah for an asmachta to back this up? So I saw two pshatim. We have this concept very often, an asmachta in the Torah. What does it mean? Some rishonim suggest the Rabbanan, when they instituted a rule, tried to find place that they could show a precedent in the Torah for such a rule or some sort of a source for it. It gave them a comfort level. It gave strength to their words. Another pshat, Ritva. Ritva has a very interesting pshat, a fascinating pshat. He says when we have many times in Shas an asmachta, so he says that the Torah specifically is teaching us this rule. But if the Torah is specifically teaching us this rule, why is it considered the Rabbanan? It ought to be considered a Daraisa, says the Ritva. That sometimes the Torah taught us a rule, but the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as he wrote the Torah, wanted to leave over that this rule should not have the full strength of a din d'oraisa. It should only have the din, the strength of a din d'rabbanan, and it should be the rabbanan should be considered the ones that created this din. And even though there's a pasuk in the Torah backing it up, it's only considered the rabbanan. Fascinating pshat. So how do we know, asked the Gemara, Menayim l'matana shchimer hashim in ha-Torah, Shnava the Pasuk says, V'avatem es nachlosoi l'bitoi. Nachlokes, what is the limud? Some say from the extra word es, and others say from the word that the Torah uses the words v'avartem. If we're talking about Hilchos Yerusha, the Torah should have used the word v'yirashtem, teaching us, yesh l'chavaro echer shikazu. There is a situation where one's estate can be transferred to someone who is really not the Yairish. Vezezu, what is that circumstance? So Matana Shchimara, that a person by making a Matana Shchimara could give the gift to whoever he wants. And as the Rishonim explained, even though this Pasuk is referring to a situation if someone has no sons, as we learned in the previous Perek, that his daughters are his Yarshim, but that really creates a situation where the Torah really wanted, we'll discuss this more in a moment, that the sons should be the Yarshim, but the daughters become the Yarshim. Here too, the Shchimera, even though whoever's supposed to be the Yarsh is supposed to be the Yarsh, has the ability to transfer that to someone else. Rav Nachman Amar Rabba Baravu Mihacha. Nesnatem es nachlosoi lo'ochiv. Yesh lo'ncher sinah chershi kazu. A person has the ability to give over the Yerusha to someone else. Vezezu matana shchimera. Here too, the Rishonim explain that the raya from this pasuk is that the Torah should have used the word v'yirashtem. Instead, the Torah uses the word v'nisatem to teach us the din of divrei shchimera. Ask the Gemara, Rav Nachman my tamalai ma'amim v'avartem. What does Rav Nachman learn from the word v'avartem? Answers the Gemara, Homin barlo l'chu Rebbe. He needs that word v'avartem to teach us what Rebbe said. The Tanya Rebbe Omer, v'kula nemar ben nesina. Typically, the Torah uses the word nesina when it speaks about Yerusha. V'kan nemar havara. Here the Torah uses the word havara to teach us. Ein l'cha ma'ava shenach, ein l'cha shema'ava nach l'mishavid l'shavid. Elabas. That when someone is in a situation that his daughters are his yarshim, what will happen is that his shir and Eretz Yisrael will be transferred to a different shevet. Hoyel u'b'na'u ba'ala yarshim. Which means as follows. We know that the shevet that someone is in is based on his father. So if somebody has sons, so when the father passes away, his sons will be his yarshim, and the sons and the father are in the same shevet, and that nachla will remain in that shevet. But let's say someone passes away, and he only has daughters, and his daughters are his yarshim, and then his daughters get married to people from a different shevet. As we learned in the previous parak, when a woman dies, if she's married, her husband's a yarish. If she doesn't have a husband, her sons are a yarshim, and her husband and her sons are from different shevet, quite likely. And they will cause that the Yerusha that she got, the Nachla that she got from her family, will end up by a different Shevet. Rav Zeira, my Tamalai Amav in the Satem. Why doesn't Rav Zeira use the word in the Satem to teach us this din? Answers the Gemara Ruch HaDekrohu. He says that the word in the Satem is considered a typical word that's used, and the fact that the Torah used the word in the Satem is not to be understood as an indication of the halacha of Divrei Shchemira. He says it from, this is the Raya, the Divrei Shchemira, a Kesum Kemesurim Dami. Remember, the Pasuk, the Parsha Melachim, the Gemara Masechta Brachos explained it, Chizkiyahu HaMelech didn't get married, for he had a Nevuah that Menashe would be his descendant. We know Menashe was an Oved Avodah Zarah, an idol worshipper. He said, I'm not getting married to have such descendants. Yeshaya Amnavi, so he got very sick. Yeshaya Amnavi comes to give a musa. He says, "V'ha'ali kafshid rachman alam alach." You're not supposed to try to figure out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us you have to get married and have children. That's what you have to do. But Yomam Ahem, Chol Chizki Lamoz. Chizki was very deathly ill. V'yavalav Yeshaya ben Anot Anavi. Yeshaya ben Anot comes to tell him, V'yamalav Koyamar Hashem, Tzav Lebeisecho. Give right at Savo, Kimeis Ata Vloitichya. So we see that since he was in such a bad shape, all that was necessary for his gift to be considered a valid gift with no kinyan, Savo Ba'alma. Why? Because it was a Shchemira. Ram by Yecheskla Mahacha. This is the source that we know the Rish Shchemira Kiksurim Kimsurim Dami. The Pasuk says, we remember the parasha where Avshalom rebelled against his father, David. Achitofel, who was one of David HaMelech's advisors, joined forces with Avshalom. And Avshalom, at the beginning, was actually successful. And he was successful getting David to have to run away. Achitofel, at that point, told Avshalom, now is the time to continue going after David. Avshalom said, no, there's no rush. When Avchitofel saw that Avshalom didn't accept his advice, he saw that Avshalom's rebellion was doomed. Achitofel saw that his advice wasn't followed. V'yachvish his chamor, he prepared his donkey. V'yelech abeisoy al ira, he went home. V'yitzav abeisoy v'yichonik. He gave direction. And he committed suicide. So we see that since he was a Shchemira, Tzava Ba'alma is enough. So the Paiskim used this, since the Gemara uses this Parsha of Achitofel to be a Raya to the din of a Shchemira, we see that yesterday we quoted the Rambam, that what is the definition of who is a Shchemira? Somebody who's very ill, laying in bed. Here we see you don't have to be that. Achitofel was going around. Yet the Gemara says that he was in the category of a Shchemira. Why? Because since he knew of his plan to commit suicide, that put him into the category of a shkemira. And therefore the Paiskim say that let's say somebody is terminally ill, and he's aware, Rachman Litzlan, that he is terminally ill, but he's still walking around. Since he's in that category, he's no different than Achi Teufel, his gifts, even though he's not bedridden, would be considered in the category of a shkemira. Interesting shaila that I saw the Paiskim discuss, or Yitzchak Zilberstein discussed the shaila. There was a person who was really not feeling well. And he was in bed, even. And he assumed he's a shkemira. And he started writing gifts. He really wasn't that ill. But he thought he was. He had a stomach virus. The question is, but then he died. Do we say since in his mind he was a shkemira, his gift will be considered the shkemira? Or since medically he wasn't, he's not considered a shkemira. And it seems from this Gemara that the shkemira is not necessarily dependent on a medical fact. It's dependent somewhat on your state of mind, like by Achi Teufel, and he would be considered shkemira. Says the Gemara, Parabon, Shlosh Dvarim Tziv Achi Teufel as Bonov. Three things Achi Teufel told his children before he committed suicide. Al Tiyu B'Machloikus, don't be part of a Machloikus. Val Timridu B'Malchus Beis David, don't rebel against Malchus Beis David. V'Yontiv Shel Atzeres Barur, if it's nice, if it's a clear day on Shavuos, Zeru Chitim, then you should plant wheat, because it's going to be a good year, it's going to be a good crop. So there's a lot of pshatim to say here. Why was he saying? One pshat, we're saying, Al Tiyu B'Machloikus. I saw a number of pshatim. One pshat is, Al Tiyu B'Machloikus means, don't instigate a machloikus. But if there's a machloikus, you can take sides. Another pshat, no. Al Tiyu B'Machloikus, never participate in a machloikus. Not only if you're not starting it, don't be part of it. A third pshat is, Al Tiyu B'Machloikus, that even if you find yourself in a situation that you're in a machloikus, don't remain in that situation long. End the machloikus. Al Tiyu B'Machloikus. End that situation. What's pshat in these three things? So the morale says pshat. Interesting pshat that the morale says. He says that a person is supposed to be at peace. He's supposed to be at peace with his family. He's supposed to be at peace with his neighbors. And he's supposed to be at peace with the government. That's what he says. Al Tiyu B'Machloikus refers, don't be machloikus with your neighbors. Al Timridu B'Malchus Beis David means don't be machloikus with the government. And if there's going to be wheat, means when is there peace at home? When there's Baruch Shem what to eat? When there's panasa? So then, it's pasach. Some will have sholem, chaylev chite yazbiyeich. You want to know when there's going to be sholem, b'chaylech in your home? Chaylev chite yazbiyeich, when there's plenty to eat. That's the morale of pshat. The Ben Yoyada says a different pshat. He says, Achi Teufel's error regarding David HaMelech was because he thought that David HaMelech did the wrong thing with marrying Bathsheba. So he says, I was wrong. David HaMelech did not do Avera. Atiyah B'Machlokas. I was wrong in entering into this battle with David. And therefore, now that I was wrong, he's telling his family, when David HaMelech passes away, and Shlomo HaMelech, the son of David and Bathsheba, becomes his successor, don't fight. The right. And David HaMelech, what's the raya, says Achi Teufel, the David HaMelech indeed was a tzaddik, because David HaMelech died in Shavuos. And the Gemara says that David HaMelech died in Shavuos, and David HaMelech was born in Shavuos. And the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yoyishev Umalish Nesem Tzadikim Yoyim L'Yoyim, that a tzaddik dies on the day he was born. And the fact that David HaMelech died on the day he was born is an indication that he was a tzaddik. He was born in Shavuos and he died in Shavuos. In fact, I saw a very interesting point. In some communities, they don't make a point out of making a birthday. Because they say that the only place that we find in the Torah that a birthday was celebrated was by Paray. So it's not a Jewish thing to have birthday celebration. But from our Gemara, from this concept of dying the day you were born, we see that the day you're born does have significance, and perhaps there is a reason to make something on a birthday. So he said that if Shavuos is nice weather, we'll discuss this more what nice weather means, then the crop will be good. What does Shavuos have to do with the crop? So one pshat that I saw is that on Shavuos, the Shtei Alechem was brought. The Shtei Alechem was made out of wheat. So it's a proof that if the Shavuos is nice weather, the wheat will be good. Another pshat is that the Gemara says, Shmaitza boy tzlusa, to be able to learn well, you have to have clarity, you have to be clear. That even having a nice day, nice weather, makes it easier to learn. So what he's saying is, Shavuos, which is the day of Kabbalah Satira, if the weather is nice, it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to create conditions that are conducive that we should be able to learn. Mazut Rama, Bolalitmar. Mazut Rama says that if Shavuos is cloudy, it'll be good crap. Amnado, Vishmei Dereb Yaakov, Loi Bar Mamish, doesn't have to be a perfectly clear day. Vloi Bol Mamish, it doesn't have to be completely cloudy. Elafila Bol, even if it's somewhat of a cloudy day, V'ruach Tzfonis Min Neshafsoi, but there's a northerly wind, which we're going to see in a minute, there's a strong wind, that is considered Zerbor, it's considered like a clear day, and a good sign for the crops of that year. Amalei Reb Abelar of Ashi, Anan Ad Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdini Masnin Allah. We learned this regarding what Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdini said. Dama Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdini, Matzah Yontav Akron Shal Chag, Matzah Shmini Atzeres. We know that Shmini Atzeres, even we, the day we say Tefillas Keshem, Chutzot, we say Tzimchus Torah, and that's what said Shmini Atzeres. So it's obviously that's the day that they are mispalu for the rain. So how do they know what's going to be? Hakol Tzofin, no, we don't say it in Tzimchus Torah, we say it also in Shmini Atzeres. Hakol Tzofin La'ashan Marocha. Everybody looks at the smoke of the Mizbeach. Not the Kapit Tzofin, if the smoke is going towards the north side, which means that the wind is coming from the south. Like the Mefarshim say, even though the Gemara says, Masechta Yuma, that the smoke from the Mizbeach never dispersed, doesn't mean that the smoke dispersed. It just means what direction the column of the smoke was going. So, not the carpet soften. If it's going towards the north, Aniyim Smechim, the poor people are satisfied. The wealthy people are upset. Why? Because a southerly wind brings a lot of rain. There's going to be a lot of rain. And if there's going to be a lot of rain, the fruits will rot from the humidity and from the rain. And therefore, what are the people going to do? They're going to have to sell out the fruit quickly, which will drop the price of fruit. So that's why the Aniyim are happy. And the Baal Batim are upset because they're not going to get a good price. Not the Klapidorim. On the other hand, if this column goes towards the south, just the opposite. Aniyim atzevim or balbatim smechim. There won't be a lot of rain, so the fruit won't rot. And they'll be able to hold on to the fruit and get a good price. And the Aniyim can't afford to spend that kind of money. Shigish mishonim otam, peres mishtamim. Not the Klapim mizrach. If it's blowing towards the east, so it's a westerly wind, Hakos Mechem. That's perfect weather. Klapi Mariv, if it's blowing towards the west, Hakol Asevim, that's the terrible weather. Easterly wind, it means that there won't be rain, and there won't be crops, and that there'll be a shortage, and everything will be expensive, so nobody's happy. So here we see that an easterly wind is bad, and a westerly wind is good. Ask the Gemara for a mini. It says in a Braisa, Bizrachis loyalim yofa, the easterly wind is good, Maravis loyalim kasha, the westerly wind is bad, Ruach tzfonis, a northerly wind, yofa lechitim b'shar shavi shlish, they're good for the crops that brought a third, the kasha l'zeisim b'shar shenitzu, and that shenitzu, the bad for the olives that just blossom. Why? Because a northerly wind doesn't bring a lot of rain. So the wheat that already grew a third doesn't need much rain. On the contrary, too much rain will flood it. But the olives need rain and won't get the rain that they need. Ruach Tzfonis, on the other hand, if there's a southerly wind, they're not good for the wheat, because a southerly wind brings a lot of rain, and this wheat that's already a third grown can't take a lot of rain. But the olive tree does need a lot of rain, and this southerly wind needs that rain, and it's good for it. How do we know what is good for what? Shulchan b'tzofen, the shulchan which had on it the lechem upon him, was in the north, that which we just learned. The northerly wind is good for the wheat. Menorah, which had in it the olive oil, was in the dar. High marbid today, because the shulchan with the wheat chalas on it should be in the side that's good for it, the north wind. For high, the menorah with the olive oil in it should be on the side that's good for it, the northerly side. But back to the kasha. Our Bryce said that the easterly wind is no good and the westerly wind is good. And the Bryce afterwards said just the opposite. Answers the Gemara like kasha. Holon v'holohu. In Eretz Yisrael, there's always a shortage of rain. The easterly wind brings a lot of rain, which is good in Eretz Yisrael. The westerly wind that doesn't bring too much rain is a problem. Bavel, on the other hand, was in a valley, a very humid area, so they don't need a lot of rain. So it's just the opposite. Tanya b'shol oimer. Yontif shal tzeres, biror, if the weather on Shavuos is nice, simen yofel kol shana kula. Then it's a good sign that it'll be good weather all year round. Omrezvit, hay yoyim akamad reishata, the first day of Rosh Hashanah, icham, if it's a hot day, kula shata chamima. That'll be an omen that the entire year will be hot. Ikar, and if it's cold, kula shata karira. Then the whole year will be cold. Lamay naf kamina. Why do we need to know what does make a difference? So the Gemara, with philosophy shall kain gadol. We know, we still say when we, in the Avodah on Yom Kippur, that the kain gadol, and this is why Tosfos explains the Gemara very beautifully, the kain gadol, as he exited the Kodesh HaKadosh, would say a tefillah. But it was very important, the Gemara Masechta Yuma says, that the Kohen Gadol should be quick, because the people outside were concerned that he should be okay. So we're davening outside, not in this situation, so we could daven as much and as long as we want. The Kohen Gadol has to be very short, has to be Makatzer. So he needs to know what the weather is, and therefore, if on Rosh Hashanah there was an indication it's going to be a hot year, he davens it shouldn't be too hot. If there was an indication it's going to be a cold year, he davens it shouldn't be too cold. But we don't want him, we could say both. He should only say what he has to say to be able to leave the Kodesh Kedoshim, and people shouldn't be concerned about his situation. So here we see what's Pshat in the Gemara. Part of Pshat in the Gemara is Rosh Hashanah is the first day of the year. The first day of the year is an indication of what the year will look like. There's a question that the Paiskim discuss. We know that the minute is a Rosh Hashanah to eat the simonim. Different foods are eaten Rosh Hashanah. The Bnei Yisoscha says that it should only be eaten on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. Many people have a minute to eat it on both days. The Bnei Yisoscha says only on the first day. And one of the rayas of the Bnei Yisoscha is Al Gemara. The Gemara says, Hayyoma Kama the Rosh Hashanah, the first day of Rosh Hashanah. So we see that all of the simonim are just around the first day. Dimri Emes says Pshandas Gemara, the way he explains it up, he drush, is how to understand the Gemara. Ichamim, if somebody davens Rosh Hashanah chamim, his davening is warm, his davening is geshmak, kulashat chamim, it's a good sign that the whole year he'll be strong in his avodas Hashem. Ikara, but if he isn't davening properly, it's not a good sign for the whole year. Says the Gemara. Amar of Nachman, Virava Amar of Nachman, we go back to the concept that we've been discussing, Matana Shkimara. He says, certainly Matana Shkimara is Midrabon Ba'almahu. Certainly the din that Matana Shkimara Kiksum Dami is only Midrabon. And all the psukim explain the Rishonim that we just quoted are no more than a smachta. Why did Chazal institute this concern? Shema Titrif Datav Alav. We're concerned that the Shchimera is concerned he's about to die, and now he's going to have to start making kinyonim. So Rashbam says another pshat, he's going to have to start finding Edom. It's going to have to be done with a lawyer, with a whole procedure, and he's afraid that he's about to pass away. That's why Chazal said that to avoid the person being in that in state of Shemit Titcher, of that of a love, Chazal said that Dirish Kamer Ksum Dami and a Kinyan is not required. In fact, I saw Tshuva, Charles Tshuva Shvus Yaakov, that says an interesting din. He says, let's say there's somebody who's very ill, and he calls somebody, he asks somebody, I'm very ill, and I'm asking you to please do this and this. Is the person obligated to do what he committed to do? He suggests perhaps not, because Al Gemara introduced a new concept of Shema Titcher of Datafalov. We're concerned that the person is very ill, and since the person is very ill, you don't want to cause him aggravation. So your entire commitment was only to avoid aggravation and may not be considered a serious commitment. Although, the Paiskim do say that we have a raya from the Torah, it's not like that. Because we find that Yaakov called Yosef and asked Yosef, Asisi Madi Chesed V'Emes, Al Nosik Bereini B'Mitzrayim. Take me to Tzisrael. Now Yaakov was very sick then. But Yosef still followed that commitment. So we see that a commitment made, even to a very ill person, maybe is considered a commitment. So some say just because he did it doesn't mean that he was obligated to do it. And others want to suggest there may be a difference between a parent and someone else. Someone who makes such a commitment to a parent, even if the parent is very sick, is obligated to follow through on that commitment. If the commitment, however, is made to someone else, and it was only made because I don't want to cause that person who's so sick, nebuch, aggravation, it may not be obligatory. Ask the Gemara, Omi Amar Rav Nachman Hachi, did Rav Nachman did say this? Bomer Rav Nachman, Afgav Dom Shmuel. Even though Shmuel said, interesting, did. Hamachish Tachoy V'Chaveroi. If I sell you a Shtachoy, that means somebody, I sell receivables. Somebody owes me money, and I sell the receivable to you. Hamachish Tachoy V'Chaveroi, V'Chazroi U'Machol, and then I go and turn around, and I forgive that person of his obligation, Machol. It's considered forgiven. Vafilu Yairush Michael. Even a Yairush has the ability to do it. Maidishmu, but Shmu will agree. That's only in a regular situation. Maidishmu, Shemnasum Matanish Chimera, that if somebody gave a gift as a Matanish Chimera, then Yachalim Chal. So says the Gemara. Yam Bishlama Daraisa. We're first going to learn the Gemara like the Ri. The Ri explains the Gemara this way. The Ri says this entire concept that one could sell a shtar chayiv is only valid midrabbanim. And since it's only valid midrabbanim, so even though I sold you a shtar chayiv that somebody owes me, that entire sale was only valid midrabbanim. So midaraisa, it doesn't have any validity. And therefore, I still have the ability to be moichel that chayiv. And now it says the Gemara, again we're learning with the Ri, if we'll say the divrei shchemira is midaraisa, kiksuvim kemesurim dam is midaraisa, we can understand the difference between when I sell you a shtar chayiv versus a shchemira. Because the selling of a shtar chayiv is only effective midrabanon. The shchemira is effective midaraisa, and that's why their rules are different. Iyam b'shlomo daraisa, if we'll say the halacha of a shchemira is effective midaraisa, b'shem hachi ani yochel limchol. Because this is daraisa, and this is only the Rabbanan. Eli Am. But if we're going to say that a Shchemira's ability is also only with Rabbanan, so why is it different than any other situation of a Moichesh Tachoy V'Chaveroi? Amai En Yochel Limchol? Answers the Gemara. Even if we'll say that the concept of Divrei Shchemira K'sum K'sum Torah is K'msurim Dami Enishal Torah is not a Daraisa concept, still a Sukishal Torah. The Rabbanan gave it greater strength that Moichesh Tachoyv L'Chaver. That's how the Ri learns the Gemara. Rabbeinu Tam learns the Gemara differently. He says that Moichesh Tachoyv L'Chaveroi is valid midaraisa. But then we have a very fundamental question. If I could sell you a receivable, a Shtachoyv midaraisa, why could I then be Moichel if that sale is valid, even midaraisa? Explains Rabbeinu Tam, that in every Shtachoyv, there's really two Shibudim. There's the Shibud that's recorded in the Shtar, And then there's the personal shibud, which actually the shibud that's recorded in the shtar emanates from the personal shibud. I can't sell you a personal shibud. That means if somebody borrowed money from me, and there was a personal connection created, I can't sell that personal connection. And therefore, even though I sold you the shtar chayiv, the halach is, I still have the ability to be meichel. And the Gemara is saying, Shchemira is even stronger that you can't be meichel. What is the halacha? If indeed somebody sold a shtar chayiv, and then afterwards he was meichel, so you got hurt. I sold you a shtar chayiv, and then I was meichel, so now the question is, do you have a monetary claim to me for being selling you a piece of paper that turned out to be worthless? Rashi says, absolutely. I have to reimburse you for what you paid. Other Rishonim say, no. That was the chance you took by buying a receivable from me. And a third opinion is, there's a market for shtar chayiv. The shtar chayiv is not a receivable is not equal to cash, because you're never sure that you're going to be able to collect it. So you have a claim to me, but you only have a claim for me for that discounted price, not for the full value of the loan.